but when he did get around to writing it out, doctrinal fascist economics looked fairly recognizable as just another left-wing campaign to nationalize industry or regulate it to the point where the distinction was hardly a difference. These policies fell under the rubric of what was called corporatism, and not only were they admired in America at the time, but they are unknowingly emulated to a staggering degree today. Pragmatism is the only philosophy that has an everyday word as its corollary with a generally positive connotation. When we call a leader pragmatic, we tend to mean he's realistic, practical, and above all, non-ideological. But this conventional use of the word obscures some important distinctions. Crudely, pragmatism is a form of relativism, which holds that any belief that is useful is therefore necessarily true. Conversely, any truth that is inconvenient or non-useful is necessarily untrue. Mussolini's useful truth was the concept of a totalitarian society. He made up the word, defined by his famous motto, "Everything in the state, nothing outside the state, nothing against the state." The practical consequence of this idea was that everything was fair game if it furthered the ends of the state. To be sure, the militarization of society was an important part of fascism's assault on the liberal state, as many anti-fascists assert. But that was the means, not the end. Mussolini's radical lust to make the state an object of religious fervor was born in the French Revolution, and Mussolini, an heir to the Jacobins, sought to rekindle that fire. No project could be less conservative or less right-wing. In this and many other ways, Mussolini remained a socialist until his last breath, just as he predicted. His reign ended in 1943 when he became little more than a figurehead for the Nazi regime headquartered at Salo, where he pathetically plotted his comeback. He spent his days issuing proclamations, denouncing the bourgeoisie, promising to nationalize all businesses with more than 100 employees, and implementing a constitution written by Niccolò Bombacci, a communist and longtime friend of Lenin's. He selected a socialist journalist to record his final chapter as Il Duce, according to whom Mussolini declared, "I bequeath the Republic to the Republicans, not to the monarchists, and the work of social reform to the socialists, and not to the middle classes." In April 1945, Mussolini fled for his life, back to Switzerland, ironically, with a column of German soldiers, he was disguised as one of them, as well as his aides, his mistress, and his acolyte Bombacci in tow. They were captured by a band of communist partisans who the next morning were ordered to execute him. Mussolini's mistress allegedly dove in front of her lover. Bombacci merely shouted, "Long live Mussolini! Long live socialism!"